John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. 2 Samuel 22:31. As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. 2 Samuel 22:31. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. Revelation chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're the recipients of Your grace, and we thank You so much that You care for us and have blessed us in so many ways. There are those of our church family and related to our church family who have burdens and difficulties and illness. We pray for them. Pray that You'll give grace and strength to the individuals, but also bless the doctors and nurses who have the responsibility of ministering. We realize that our Heavenly Father is the great physician, and we pray that His hand of love and blessings will be upon these. We thank You again for the opportunity to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal truths of Your Word. We pray that these moments will be for all of us blessed moments as we study these wonderful truths. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. As already been announced, we dealt with verses 9 and 10 of Revelation 21 in the first session. In this session, we deal with Revelation 21, verses 11 and 12. And then on Wednesday night, we'll be looking at verses 13 and 14. We'll read all of these verses now. And one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great high wall, 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Verse 13, there were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. When we looked at verse 9, we saw emphasized there seven angels, seven bowls. I could have taken you at that time back to Revelation chapter 16, but I chose not to and chose to emphasize the last part of verse 9 in the first session today. In Revelation 21:10, we see the city descended one package. When we go to our verses today, 21:11, 21:12, we see the glory of the city. We see the wall of the city. By way of overview and review of coming events, Revelation 21:13, we have the gates of the city. 12 tribes, east, 3, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, north, 3, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, south, 3, Reuben, Simeon, Gad. All of this information is found in the second chapter of the book of Numbers. West, 3, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. When you go to Revelation 21:14, we have an emphasis on the wall of the city, having 12 foundations, 12 apostles. Simon called Peter, Andrew, James, the son of Zebedee, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. That's Revelation 21, 14. In Revelation 21, 15 through 17, we have an emphasis on the dimensions of the city, the measurement. You can study that as a preview, if you so desire, verses 15, 16, and 17. And then when you get to Revelation 21, 18, there is an emphasis on the construction, the materials. We'll find that very interesting also. Revelation 21, 18. And then, since we have a person in our church who specializes in stones, we're going to leave this information to him whenever he has opportunity to preach one of these days. In Revelation 21, 19, jasper, sapphire, and on down the line, some of these you may even have, as I do, hard to pronounce. But these are foundation stones in Revelation chapter 21, verse 19. That just gives you a little overview. I want you to see that we look ahead as we study, and so we have an emphasis on Revelation 21, beginning with verse 9 and 10, which we've already done, 11 and 12, which we will now do, and then on down through other verses of Scripture. What we have today is an emphasis upon the magnificent verses 2. One is the verse 11, which says, having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great high wall, 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. What I've discovered is that we need to take a look today in this particular service on the word that is found in our verse 11, which is the word glory, having the glory of God. We find that word used throughout the New Testament, and so we're going to emphasize, if you'd like to analyze this with me, the word glory. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for everyone. The writer of the book of Hebrews gives us a magnificent passage here, which presents to us the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth and go to the cross to die for your sins and mine. It is beautiful to see these words, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. I pause with you on that passage of Scripture, that part of it, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every individual. All of us are fully aware of the fact that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of all mankind. Most of us had memorized when we were little children that verse of Scripture in John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. What a magnificent verse. I'm sure that you have it memorized. It emphasizes the fact that when God loved, he loved the world. And that when Deity too came down to the earth, he came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of mankind. And so we have an emphasis on the fact that the word here says in Hebrews 2:9 that by the grace of God should taste death for every individual. If you want to take some notes, let me give you some emphases. And what I've chosen today is to review these verses. And I went back, because I cannot read all of these verses, but I went back, and if you see a little red line under a verse, that is a reminder for me to tell myself to go to that verse and read it for you. So you're looking for that line, and if you see it, that's fine. Are we having some problems? We're in darkness, aren't we? Okay, but you just keep listening and I'll keep talking. How about that? So number one, glory is used in the Bible for the essence of God. In Romans 3:23, Ephesians 1:17, and Psalm 21 verse 5. What I would like for you to do is to be aware of the fact that in Romans 3:23 it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. Interesting verse of scripture that you've memorized. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's that word, glory. Doxa, the glory of God. I believe you now see it on the screen. Oh, I see it on my screen. So it's Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What I would like for you to do, if you will, please, is to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter... Is that a phone for someone? Would you answer it, please, and tell them that we're just having a wonderful time at Grace Bible Church and that we're in Revelation chapter 21, verse 11.
It's for you.
It's for me. Okay. My phone is back in the... Someone's calling me here, but go ahead and answer it. I'm telling you. We're waiting for Mike, our control man, to get things going here. We're having a wonderful time today, aren't we? If you will turn to Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at this verse, 17, in a few moments. And what you do, Mike, is turn that thing off back there, leave it off for a little bit, turn it back on. You know more about that than I do. You already tried that? Okay. If at first you don't succeed, then try a second. That's what they used to tell me when I was pastor at Second Baptist. Did you get that? That didn't go very well. Oh, me. Okay. Let's go on. Turn, if you will, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 17. I have this already marked, and I want you to see. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of Him. If you will look, please, at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, you will find a magnificent verse indeed. Glory is used here in the Bible for the essence, the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. And so we find that in Romans 3:23. We find that here in our verse, Ephesians 1:17. And we find it in Psalm 21, verse 5. If you'll see, if you could see, that point one is the emphasis on the fact that glory is used in the Bible to emphasize the essence, the attributes, the characteristics of the members of the Godhead. That's Romans 3:23, Romans, Ephesians 1:17, and Psalm 21:5. Number two, glory is used for the spiritual house of the soul. If you cannot see this, and that's okay, let me just give you the information. The word glory is used in the Bible for the spiritual house of the soul, which simply means that all of us have the responsibility of constructing, building the spiritual house. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We do that on a day-by-day basis. That's found in Ephesians 3:21, Colossians 1:27, which we'll come back and read in a few moments, 1 Peter 1:8, and then 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. I'm going to turn and ask you, if you will, to turn in your Bible to Colossians, and let's look at this magnificent passage of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. I will read it to you and let's see what it says. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now what I'm going to do is to back up to verse 25. If you're following along in your reading now. This is Ephesians, this is Colossians chapter 1, look beginning with verse 25. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. Of this church, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. You can see that Saul of Tarsus, who is converted as recorded in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, is saying here that I have a responsibility to you believers. And so he says in Colossians 1:25, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is, the mysterion, the mystery, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to the saints. Most of you are familiar with that word mystery, mysterion. It is an emphasis upon the fact that God used Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, to be the man who was the grace presenter, presented the grace of God so magnificently in all of these wonderful books that the Spirit of God used him to write, and we have been able to see that time and time again. So we have the vast passage of Scripture, Colossians 1:27. So let me move on down. To whom God will to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mysterion among the Gentiles. Many, many times I have said that there's an emphasis throughout the Synoptic Gospels and even into the Gospel of John on the Jews, the age of Israel. So you have to understand that to be able to appreciate how God deals with individuals. God dealt with the Jews, the children of Israel. We see that presented over and over and over again throughout the Word of God and into the New Testament, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and even part of John. So we have an emphasis on the mysterion, the mystery, among the Gentiles. Then it says in verse 27, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me move along since you're able to see these verses. Glory is used for the spiritual house of the soul in Ephesians 3:21, 1 Peter 1, verse 8, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. Let's go to number 3. Glory is also presented to us in relationship to marriage. The right companion, the Bible says, is the glory to the husband. Glory is also related to marriage in Colossians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 15. I would encourage you to write those verses down and look them up, because we have an emphasis here upon how beautiful the relationship is between the husband and the wife. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 and 15. Number 4, the grace of God is described as glory in Ephesians 1:16. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to go back to Ephesians. And let's look at verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. So the Apostle Paul had a special place in his heart for individuals, and we see that beautifully manifested in Ephesians 1:16. The grace of God is described as glory. Number 5, God's provisions are called riches of glory. In various passages, and I have two marked here, the ones that I have marked, Philippians 4:19, Ephesians 1:18, we'll read those in a few moments, but Ephesians 3:16, and also in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. Let me turn, if you will, please turn with me to the book of Philippians, and let's look at 4:19. Perhaps you already have this one memorized. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. If you're wondering about how God is concerned about your welfare, what you eat, what you wear, the clothes you wear, transportation, all these provisions, you can find it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now I want to read this in a little different way and see if it matches. And my God shall supply all your wants according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Did I read that correctly? Okay, I just wanted to see if you were really paying attention. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And then if you will, please turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and then looking now at verse 18. We looked at verse 17 a few moments ago. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What a beautiful, magnificent verse of scripture. The apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. It seems to me that every word is important here. The apostle Paul is saying, I earnestly plead with God, I pray that the eyes of your heart. Of course, you can see that the eyes of your heart means the mentality of your soul, the ability to utilize and metabolize God's truth on a day-by-day basis. It's beautiful to be able to see this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And then it goes on, and it says, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. I don't know if any of you have your Greek New Testament there. I didn't look this up, but I'd like to ask some of you who have the Greek text to see what is that word that is used for the word you may know. Does anyone have a Greek text and you're able to tell me? Okay, just checking you out here. Some of you have it, some of you don't. Okay, just wanted to see. I didn't look this one up before I came in here, but I'd be interested in knowing what word is used there. No one has a Greek text? Oh my, okay. Let me go on to say, the verse says, I pray that the eyes, you're looking it up, some of you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know, and there could be different words used here. It could be the word gnosko. It could be the word epinosis. So we'll need to find out which one it is. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Bob, someone found it. All right. I'm not seeing that word, but I'm hearing you, and you're reading it from the Greek, or you're reading it from the English? Okay. Thank you so much for helping me. Yeah, I appreciate your help. I think it's time for us to move along. God's provisions are called riches of glory in Ephesians 3:16. I hope some of you will look this up when we leave here. Hebrews 2:10, Philippians 4:19, Ephesians 1:18. Number six. Heaven and earth, heaven and eternal life are described as glory. And these verses of scripture are so fantastic. 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 Peter 5:10, and 2 Peter 1:3. Notice what that is saying. Heaven and eternal life are described as glory. You and I must be aware of the fact that glory is a word which means to be triumphant, to be victorious. It is an emphasis upon that which is magnificent and wonderful. And this is telling us, number six, Roman number six, heaven and eternal life are described as glory in 1 Timothy 3:16, 1 Peter 5:10, 2 Peter 1:3. Number seven, glory is used to describe the wonders of the universe. This is also very interesting. And I have this mark to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 40 and 41. So I'm going to turn in my Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to read these verses for you. 1 Corinthians 15, begin reading with verse 40. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. Now, if you look at verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for star differs from the star in glory. Now look at verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. If you all do not have this one underlined, you ought to do that, because it emphasizes the fact that there's coming a day that this body in which we live now is a decaying body. It is a dying body. We all know that. We've said it over and over 1,000 times. We're living in a body that is diminishing. And one of these days, this body will have used its purpose, and God's time for the use of the purpose of this body is going to be over. And we're going to be moved out of this body. Do you realize that? We're going to be moved out of this body. We don't know when that will be, but it's coming for every one of us. It's going to happen one of these days. Either we're going to leave this life by the rapture, or we're going to leave this life by means of physical death. It's going to take place. And I want to assure you, and all of us have had loved ones and friends to pass away, I want to assure you that leaving this life is not that bad. Even though those of us who are left behind are the ones who grieve, of course. But for the person who leaves this life as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible says here, it's to them glory. How fantastic. You just need to let this really settle into your heart and mind. It is sown in dishonor. Well, let's go to verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Sown, a perishable body. That's what we're living in now, a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. One of these days, we're going to have a glorified spiritual resurrection body, eternal. Thank God for that. And be aware of the fact that though you may have aches and pains now, and I don't have those, of course, because I'm so young. But anyway, the scripture here says that you're going to have a perishable body now, but you're going to have an imperishable body then. Then it says, it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. Let me read on. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. How fantastic this is. Do you see that? This is first man Adam became a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthly, the second man is from heaven. Now I'm reading on because I'm enjoying it. As is the earthly, so also are those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. And just as we have been born the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Now I say this, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery, mysterion. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. Look at it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Let me read on. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this perishable will have put on imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written in Isaiah 25:8, death is swallowed up in victory. Now you didn't know where that verse was found, but it's Isaiah 25:8. Verse 55 of 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. And this is found in Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I could stop right there, but you have to see verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I read more than what I have listed on the screen for you, but I'm trying to point out the fact that glory is used here to describe the resurrection body of the believer. Two more points. Number 9, glory is associated with the presentation of the church as the bride of Christ at the second advent. When I say that, do you have in mind where the second advent is? Do you have a picture in your mind of the timeline? Glory is associated with the presentation of the church as the bride of Christ at the second advent. The bride is the glory of the groom who is the glory. Now, on the screen, you see another time of view of this, which I have in my mind imprinted, and I trust it's imprinted on your mind. The age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church, the rapture, the tribulation, the second advent, the millennium, the great white throne judgment, the new heaven and new earth coming down from God out of heaven, the God-Magog revolution, all these things here, and then the eternal future. You have that glory is associated with the presentation of the church as a bride of Christ at the second advent. You see that? Second advent. The bride is the glory of the groom, who is the glory. Now, I'm not going to get into this last point here, but there are a few verses in the Bible where glamour or glory is mistranslated. And I'll just mention these, 1 Peter 1:24, Philippians 3:19. We'll not get into that in detail. But the last few moments, I want you to see something. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the Father, full of grace and truth. There are the verses I have, but I want to stop on that one this morning. Most of us have looked many times at the first chapter of the Gospel of John. It's a fantastic chapter, and if you will, before the day is over, go back and look at it. But when you follow all down through those first 13 verses, and then get to verse 14, the emphasis here is, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the many different words that describe Jesus Christ, one of the most important words that I believe is found in the New Testament is the word, Word. Because the word, Word means a means of communication. And that's the reason why this one is so important. And the Word was made flesh. Jesus Christ, the God-man, the pre-existent Christ, became the existent Christ. And He dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. What was it? The glory as of the Father, full of grace and truth. How wonderful it is for you and me to know that God's gift of salvation to mankind is a gift of grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful indeed for the privilege of studying Your Word. We pray that we will understand how important it is to realize that Jesus Christ was the individual who became God in the flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld that glory, the glory as of the Father, full of grace and truth. Any individual who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior is saved, because the Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." We pray that there will be those who hear this message who will now accept You as their personal Savior And we thank you for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please.